I remember this day just like it was yesterday. Actually, it was September 24th, 1967. Let me say that again. September 24th, 1967. 9-year-old boy in church, little island out in the Pacific called Okinawa. And that's where my parents were missionaries. And we actually spent 3 years on the island of Okinawa. And we attended a church called Koza City. That's one of the cities on Okinawa. Koza City Baptist Church. Big pastor, Bud Spencer. We called him Big Bud. He was my height, but he weighed about 300 pounds, 350 pounds. But he was the greatest guy. He had such a great personality. And I remember him standing up in front and just talking about knowing for sure you're going to heaven. He says, if you don't know, the Bible makes it clear that by asking for forgiveness of your sins, you can be forgiven of your sins, and then the Bible teaches that you can have eternal life. And literally on that morning, Bud scared the hell out of me. You know, I was only 9, but I wasn't really sure. So I remember, getting up and walking down the aisle and coming to the front and sitting on the front row. And my brother followed me. And so the two of us together came down. And, you know, he took us back to his study and just talked about that decision. And he said, you know, you need to be baptized. I said, okay. He said, we can baptize you tonight. Let me talk to your parents. And so Ken and Doris said, okay. And so I'll never forget that night we came back. And the baptistry is similar to ours. You can't see it, but it's kind of, you know, the tank behind the stage. Well, my brother was only 7, and he was pretty short at that point. And Bud displaced a lot of water too when he got in the baptismal pool. But I remember being baptized on that night. September 24th, 1967. That's the day I marked knowing for sure my sins were forgiven, that I had one day in the courts of the Lord. I will be there, and that day will happen when I die. I leave this earth. My physical body stays here, but my spirit, my soul, the real part, immediately goes to be with the Lord. Amen? I know many of you may have that experience. Let's jump to 1982. 1982, I had just finished college and part of my seminary training. We were down in San Diego, California, attending John Maxwell's church called Skyline Church down in Lemon Grove. And I remember that particular evening, a guy named Keith Drury was speaking. Can't say his name real well, but his name was Keith Drury, I think. And he just talked about taking the next step for God. You know, you may be saved tonight, and that's the term he used, but he said, what about those next steps? And really turning over your life to the Lord. And I remember getting up and walking down to the front in 1982 and doing that. Now, that wasn't for salvation. I knew I was saved. But what that was is kind of a rededication. Now, you've seen this, maybe different churches you've been at. If you've watched TV, this happens. People come to the front. In fact, some of the churches I've visited recently have people come to the front. Now, let me ask you this question. Is that okay? Is that okay to do that? Yeah, it is. But if I were to ask you, isn't that good that we agree on that? But if I were to ask you, can you show me an example in the Bible and help just clarify this whole issue? Is everybody supposed to come down, if you will, a second time? Oh, and if they did come down, what would they come down for? What would they, if you will, rededicate to the Lord? Where's the passage in the Bible that would tell us that? And I think, you know, we can do things in our churches by tradition. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's always good to have a biblical precedent to what we do and why we do it. And today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at a group of people who are going to rededicate themselves to the Lord. What we're going to do, though, as we look at this passage, real simple outline, the who can do this, and then the what. The who and the what. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're in a series. It's entitled what? Thank you, Edwina. What's it entitled? That is so pathetic. What is this series entitled? What is today's message? And what chapter are we in? Nehemiah chapter 10. This is very important. Now give the page number for the blue Bibles, if you're here and don't have a Bible. Page number what? Very good. It's all on the front here for you, okay? It's pretty easy to follow here. What's happened in the book of Nehemiah is Nehemiah had a plan to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They had been destroyed completely. They had been vacant. The city was in rubbles and ruin. He got a report from his brother, actually, about this. It was 1,100 miles from where he was at. And he began in chapter 1 to pray. And then in chapter 2, he gave his plan. In chapter 3, the king blessed his plan and sent him back. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 were what? They all dealt with, remember this, opposition. External opposition. Internal problems. And actually death threats. But in spite of all this, 4,200 people came back, traveled 1,100 miles, rebuilt that wall. And by chapter 6 of Nehemiah, they had finished the wall in 52 days. And so that's a great thing. The thing is, though, Nehemiah has 13 chapters. So while God is interested in building and construction, He is, He's also more interested in people and them building their lives. Well, now we have a practical problem. In chapter 7, what do you do after you finish what God asks you to do? What is the next step? And we saw this. You preserve the gains, so they put all these gateposts and watch people, gatekeepers they're called, around the city to protect it. They were preserving the gains. Then they started with a what? A new goal. A new goal is this. Very practical. He's got to move people into the city from the outside. You've got a wall around a fairly sparsely populated area, and you want people to move into your city. Well, before you just go and ask people to do that, by the way, how many of you want to move? Do any of you enjoy moving? There might be a part of it where you get rid of some stuff. That's good, isn't it? Where you lighten the load a little bit, but nobody likes to move. And in that day, they had kind of established themselves and had done a number of things, and they didn't, you know. And so what God did is, in chapter 7, they found a copy of God's Word. And they began to read it, and they understood the importance of some things they had not been doing in following God through His Word. And then in chapter, that's chapter 8. Chapter 9, what did we look at last time? The longest what in the Bible? Prayer. We saw the importance of prayer, and we looked at this prayer and saw some things that we can learn from it. So 7 and 8 and 9, they're all at an assembly now. They have gathered together, and Nehemiah now comes back up the center stage. And let's see what happens. What do they do next? After they've heard God's Word, read God's Word, they've prayed. Really, this is kind of a formula here for revival in people's hearts and in people's lives. And so as we open up and go to chapter 10, what we're going to do is we're going to look at dedication. And we're going to look who can be dedicated and what can be dedicated, if not everything. Are you with me? All right, so let's go ahead and get going here in chapter 9, the very last verse. It says this, "In view of all this," and this is what I've just talked to you about, "we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it." It's interesting, if you've ever wondered, sometimes, and we do this here at this church, when you finish some of the classes that we take, we ask you to sign a covenant. We have precedent for asking you to sign covenants, and it comes right out of Nehemiah chapter 9. These people are going to sign something. You're going to see what they're signing here in a few minutes. But we ask you to do that. You sign when you buy a house or when you buy a car. And some people have a problem with signing anything in the church. Let me just say, there's a problem if you've got that problem. We have the example here. And what's more important to sign in our lives? A commitment to the Lord. And do that. All right. This is the verse in the Old Testament that tells us it's okay to sign and make a commitment to the Lord. So no more not giving me that excuse for not signing something. Amen? All right. I really don't have that much trouble with that, but I thought I'd mention it. Those, chapter 10, who signed it were who? Nehemiah, the governor, the son of Hakaliah. Who did they start with? The leader. The leader, the main guy that God was using, Nehemiah. So Nehemiah signed it. What a great example. I'm making this commitment, he said, and he does. Now, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm not going to read any of those names because it would... I know, you guys are disappointed, aren't you? I thought we'd take about 10 minutes on each name, explaining the meaning of the name and the application to today. But I'm not that smart, so we're not doing... What does it say in verse 8? These were the what? The priests. All right, so now we have the spiritual leaders, the priests, and all these individuals sign this document. Look at verse 9. The who? Levites. Now, the Levites would help the priests in doing the spiritual work for the nation of Israel. And then you have a bunch of names here. We're not going to go through any of those. 10, 11, 12, 13. Those names are important, especially to their mothers, but we're not going to worry about that. Now look at verse 14. Who's the next group of people? The leaders of the people. And look at verses 15 through 27. And I could slaughter those names as well as anybody can. The point is, they are the leaders of the people. So now we have the main guy, we have the priests, the Levites, and the heads of the people, the leaders. Well, who else? Look at verse 28. What does it say? The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their who? Wives, their sons, their daughters, and all who are able to understand. So who else signed? Everybody. Everybody signed this document. It wasn't for some and not for others. It was for everybody. They all signed this document. Which leads me to say, on your outline, you've got a couple statements. The first one is the who of dedication. So who is the who? Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? Who is the who? Well, the who's are us-ins. Us-ins. Okay, let's go to the next slide here. The who of dedication is this. Say this with me. All people can dedicate themselves to the Lord. We'll say it again when you've written it down and filled in those little blanks. All people can dedicate themselves to the Lord. This example says it doesn't matter who you are. You can do this. And the reality is, as we look to today's application, you can do this multiple times. This is just not, in my example, in 1982. That was one time. There have been other examples in my life where I have rededicated myself to the Lord. And you can do this, and you probably should do this at different times in your life. All people can dedicate themselves to the Lord. When's the last time you did this? Now, you don't have to necessarily come to a church to do this. You can do this in your own quiet study, or your front room, or your kitchen, or at home. You can make this rededication to the Lord. All people can do this. And you can do this multiple times. So when you see this on TV, or if you see this at another church, or even at our church, you can do this. It's okay. And everybody can participate. Isn't that cool? That's really neat. So what happened is they took a while to sign this document, didn't it? Look at all the names there and all the people that did this. And it was just an amazing time in the nation of Israel. All right? Here we go. Let's continue then at verse 29. All these now join their brothers, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey what? Carefully some of the commands. All right, very good. To obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. They said, we are going to make a promise. It's an oath and a curse. It's just some of the language they use. The idea for today is they're making a promise to say, to the best of our ability, we are going to try and follow what we know. What we know of God's Word and God's law. We're going to commit to doing this. All right? Now, on your outline then, let's look at now the what of dedication. We're going to have 4 points here under the what. And you can just see it on your outline, real simple. The first one, which we have just read, is obedience to what? All God's laws. Obedience to all of God's laws. And we see that in verse 29. That to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and the decrees of the Lord our God. It's the idea that we're going to obey these laws not when it's convenient, not when it's easy, but we're going to do it consistently, and we are going to make this commitment to faithfully obey all of God's laws. Now, here's the thing, and I've used this term a couple of times in a couple of messages recently. Most of us are educated beyond our obedience. In other words, you and I know what we must do to trust, to honor God. We know that. We've talked about, you know, serving in this series. We're going to talk about giving in a couple of chapters because they're going to do that. We've talked about serving, giving, just being faithful to attend. You know, these things, God's commands, God's ideals in our lives. Not to lie. The Ten Commandments. Wow. They knew the Ten Commandments at this point. These people had an understanding of the Ten Commandments. And they were saying, we're going to make a rededication to follow those to the best of our ability. And to seek God out. Here's the thing. We're educated beyond our obedience. We know these things. The thing is, as Christians and believers, we don't do them. Some things. We just choose not to. God knows that. What I would suggest this morning, and we're going to take a few minutes at the end of this service, and we're going to have a time of rededication. We're going to take a few minutes to do this. And I'm going to give you the chance at the end to come forward and kneel if you would like, or to sit in your chair, or to kneel at your chair. Doesn't matter where this takes place. But the first thing is to obey God's law that I know. And that I understand, and I'm just choosing not to. That would be the first area. And God's Spirit will probably tell you, if you know, when we struggle with obedience to all God's laws. All right? Big step, big commitment. They said, though, we're going to do it. We're going to follow all God's laws. All right, well, where did they go next? Verse 30. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us, or to take their daughters for our sons. All right, the people that lived around them did not believe in God, Jehovah God. They believed in a myriad of other gods. And they set up just a very difficult situation when they started intermarrying with these other people groups, the Canaanites, the Hittites, all these others. And they were very ungodly. They did not believe in God. They did not try and follow the Ten Commandments. Some of the stuff they got into as you study this was unbelievable. So they said, we are not going to do that. It's going to stop in our marriages with our children. All right, so the second area that they're rededicating themselves to is this. Future marriages. Future weddings. All right. So they were saying, this is a problem, and God actually told them to separate yourself from these people. He said to do that. And you're going to see this mentioned a number of times through the book of Nehemiah. Future marriages. All right, we have a verse here. Let me bring up the verse that and you just write this out to the side. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15. This is called the unequally yoked verse. And in the New Testament, it's one of the verses that can be used to show this. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the exact application here has to do with business. It really does in 2 Corinthians 6, contextually. And many people, as I do, and many teachers do also say, well, if it's not with unbelievers in business, but the application can go beyond that. It can go beyond that to dating relationships and marriage and things like that. So for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And he's giving some great analogies here of this. Let's go to the next one. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? This would be Christ and an evil god. And he's using that example. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Now, this does not mean that we're so removed from everybody that we don't have friends that don't know the Lord. That is not what this is saying. What this is saying is talking about, first of all, in the business working relationship, be careful who you work with. Second, as many do, they take this passage and say, okay, in the marriage relationship, do not be unequally yoked. It will create all kinds of problems, all kinds of heartache. And what I would say today is this. If you're here as a parent with children, one of the things that you need to do is you need to continually pray for God to guide and direct in who your kids marry. Do that. Pray that prayer. And I know that many have, many are, but maybe you're here and you're just not doing that consistently. Do that. Continue to do that. These people said, you know what, we're going to stop this practice. It's been going on because there's a huge gap between those of us who follow God and those who would be outside the family of God in terms of their beliefs. Future marriages. Okay, let's go on. What's next? How about this? Verse 31. When the neighboring people bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them the Sabbath or on any holy day. Every seventh year we will forego working the land and we will cancel all debts. All right, a big thing in the Old Testament had to do with working on the Sabbath. They were not to work on the Sabbath as God's chosen people. And what happened, they moved into these cities and all kinds of other people would come out and bring their goods and wares to sell on the Sabbath. And they said, no, we got to stop this because God's law teaches us not to do this. Okay, so today we actually have freedom to do this if we choose to. You know, one company that chooses not to is what? What's the name of this company? Chick-fil-A chooses not. They continue, and I believe it comes right from this passage here. There could be others, but the idea of not buying and selling on the Sabbath. And we're going to trust God to make up the shortfall when we choose not to do that. All right, so we look at that and we say, well, how do we apply that today? So here's the third area. Third area has to do with business dealings. Business dealings. In your business dealings, honor God. In whatever business you have, doesn't matter how big or how small it is, honor God in your business dealings. And you know what? I chose a verse here from the Old Testament. I wanted to stay kind of in the Old Testament with this area. Write this verse down, Leviticus 19:11. And we have it, and let's bring that up. Leviticus 19:11. As they were coming into the land, God was talking about them having relationships with other believers, but in a general sense, relationships with everyone. Let's say this verse together. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Business dealings. Do not deceive that person. Making promises you cannot fulfill. Do not deceive them. Do not lie to them. Do not take from them. These things. I think that's the modern day equivalent of this. And Leviticus 19:11 really just cuts to the chase, doesn't it? Boom. You want to honor God? Don't steal, don't lie, don't deceive. And that can be really tough at times. It just can. It can be really, really tough at times. But part of biblical dedication says in what my dealings are with other people, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to rededicate myself to honor Him. Amen? Am I giving you enough here? How about one more? One more area begins in verse 32. says this: we assume the responsibilities for carrying out the commands to give a third a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God. All right, now we're going to talk about, let's go all the way to the end of the chapter. Let me give you the point here. The point is, go to the last verse of chapter 10. It says what? We will not neglect the house of our God. So that's where we're going. We will not neglect the house of our God. But just listen to what they had to do in their time in order to honor God. Well, it talks about giving a shekel, a part of an offering for the house of their God. Verse 33, for the bread set out on the table for the regular grain offering, burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbath, new moons, festivals, and appointed feasts, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the duties of the house of our God. They were just saying, we've got to give the shekel, we're going to give a tithe, give part of our income, we're going to bring bread for all these things. We, verse 34, the priests, the Levites, and the people have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God at set times each year a contribution of wood. Well, they had a lot of fires going on for sacrifices. You've got to have wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as is written in the law. 35, we also assume responsibility each year for the house of the Lord, the first fruits of our crops in every fruit tree. So when they would receive their first crop harvest, a portion of that would go to the temple. As it is written, 36, in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons, cattle, herds, flocks, to the house of our God, to the priest ministering there. Moreover, we will bring to the storeroom of the house of our God, to the priest, to the first of the ground meal of our grain offerings. Look at this. They had to bring grain offerings of new wine and oil. We bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites. These are the helpers. For it is the Levites who collect the tithes in the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes to the house of our God and the storehouse of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contribution of grain, new wine, oil, the storerooms where the articles for the sanctuary are kept, and where the ministering priests, gatekeepers, and singers stay. We will not neglect the house of our God. They had so many different offerings to give in that day, and tithes, 10% of everything. And they said, we're not doing this. And consequently, our Levites and our priests are having to go farm and do things instead of serving full-time, which they're supposed to be doing. So they rededicated themselves in this. All right, so the idea here then for us today would be church responsibilities. In church responsibilities, in what we do here as a church, we need to be faithful and to follow through in our commitments. To what we have made a commitment to, we're going to follow through and do that. We're going to give. We're going to serve. We are going to follow God. And let me tell you what. Out in front of our church, we have a few weeds. And there have been some people that have picked those weeds, and God bless them. Probably one of the most difficult, irritating jobs, and God bless the people that did that. And, you know, that's part of our church responsibility. We got a whole lot of property here with a whole lot of weeds, and that is an amen, isn't it? And you know what? And thank God that there are those of you that are helping and doing this, and occasionally we're going to announce things where you can help us out so we can keep some kind of control on this before it overgrows us and overtakes us. But church responsibilities, teaching Sunday school classes. I know we're hitting the summer now. We're going to take some time and relax and enjoy time on vacation and things like that. But we got to gear it up as we come back to the fall. Church responsibility, being faithful, following through, doing those things. Interesting list, huh? You see this? That's what they did. Church responsibilities, the what of dedication. The who is anybody. Anybody and everybody should do this. The what has to do with obeying all God's laws, has to do with marriage, has to do with business dealings, and finally has to do with church responsibility. Here's my question for you this morning. My question is this: what will you dedicate to the Lord? So what we're going to do is we're just going to take a minute here. Mike, let's put on a little background music, if you could. And here's how this is going to work. You can stay at your seat. I'm fine with that. God is fine with that. And you can just, or you can go to your knees at your seat. There is something here. Don't tell me God hasn't spoken to you this morning about something here that you need to rededicate to the Lord. Then there are those of you, this is not a show. It's not. If you'd like to come forward and kneel in the front, and just all you're doing is coming forward and saying, God, I need to rededicate myself to pray for my children. Or, better yet, my grandchildren. Or, better yet, my great-grandchildren. All of them. And do that. And others may say, you know, I'm struggling with some stuff where I work and my business dealings with my employer. Maybe a really difficult employer. All right. We're going to take just a couple minutes to do this. You come. You stay at your seat or you come forward. It doesn't matter to God. It's not a show, but many churches do this. And maybe we don't do enough of this. And we need to do more of this. But if you come and rededicate yourself to the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you know our hearts. That you know what's going on inside of our lives, our spirit. Lord, we do desire to follow you, and we admit we stray from you. And we stray in many areas. We choose to walk away from you at times. Lord, we thank you that you are forgiven, God. That you hear us when we cry out to you. And this morning, I am confident, Lord, that there are people here who have rededicated themselves in maybe one area, maybe many areas. Lord, help us to be a church that is marked by renewal at various times in our lives. It's not just once forever. That is salvation. Thank you for that gift of just asking you to forgive us our sins and come into our lives. And you do that. But that dedication is many times. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to work through us and that you will guide and direct our hearts and our spirit. And we thank you so much for this example of people coming, priests, the people, men, women, children, signing something and saying, we want to go to another level with you. And Lord, that's our desire, to continue to go to different levels with you. Lord, we rejoice that you provide us that opportunity. Pray that you'll just continue to guide and direct us this morning as we finish our time here and as we enjoy the rest of this day. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, it's just an amazing thing. We see this, you think about this in the New Testament, but actually you see this in the Old Testament, and you see this quite a bit. And in the book of Nehemiah, we have seen people raise their hands. We've seen people bow. We've seen people stand up. We've seen people kneel. It's just an amazing part of God's Word that helps us become aware of all of these ways to honor God and to worship Him. Amen? Amen. So what have you rededicated this morning? Be faithful to it. Chris, if you'll come, and let's go ahead and continue to worship the Lord. This week, I hope you had a good week. Daily bread. Remember I talked about this last week? Little devotional time with the Lord. And these were available. If you did not pick one up and you would like to, please go ahead and do this. I want you to know, I was 7 for 7 this week. 7 for 7. Now, everybody can have a chance. This is just simple reading, simple praying to the Lord. But do this. There are a number of these back available there. We had some hidden in the drawer, but we brought them out. And so if you did not pick one of these up and you'd like to, please do that. So this is an important part of what we looked at last week. Let's finish our time together this morning. And Chris and team, lead us onward.